Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. It is January the 17th, 2021, right around 9:15 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and this is your brother Dan, and this is a service of the Virtual Church of Little Saigon. The first reading is from Psalm 37. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither, like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways are upright, but their swords will pierce their own hearts and their bows will be broken. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked, for the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The blameless spend their days under the Lord's care, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. But the wicked will perish. Though the Lord's enemies are like the flowers of the field, they will be consumed. They will go up in smoke. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but those he curses will be destroyed. The Lord makes firm steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young, and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be a blessing. Turn from evil and do good. Then you will dwell in the land forever, for the Lord loves the just, and he will not forsake his faithful ones. Wrongdoers will be completely destroyed. The offspring of the wicked will perish. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouths of the righteous utter wisdom, and their tongues speak what is just. The law of their God is in their hearts. Their feet do not slip. The wicked. The wicked lie in wait for the righteous, intent on putting them to death. But the Lord will not leave them in the power of the wicked, or let them be condemned when brought to trial. Hope in the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are destroyed, you will see it. I have seen a wicked and ruthless man flourishing like a luxuriant native tree, but he soon passes away and was no more. Though I looked for him, he could not be found. Consider the blameless. Observe the upright. A future awaits those who seek peace. But all sinners will be destroyed. There will be no future for the wicked. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Good morning. Indeed, it is a good morning because we are alive. If you had a chance to have breakfast this morning and you had a good meal, thanks be to God. If you went for a walk with your dog today and it was a good walk and your dog did not misbehave in a way that was too outrageous, thanks be to God. If you are with family or friends, with loved ones who love you and care for you, they're not perfect. None of us is perfect except for Jesus. But if you have people around you who care for you, thanks be to God. There are many things that plague the human heart, and there are many demons, and these demons go by many names. But one of the demons lurks in the darkness where one finds loneliness, where one finds isolation. And if 2020 and 2021 have shown us anything so far, these years we've been in, it is this desire on the part of the temporal powers, the powers of the earth, the powers of Satan, to keep us isolated, to keep us alone. Because if you can keep us alone, then the devil makes work of our souls. If you can keep us alone, you will have to have the bravery of a hermit in the wilderness. And that is not easy. I am a hermit. I don't know how brave I am. I am a hermit. I really don't know how good I am. I think my goodness is often defined by how much money I have in my checking account. But these are difficult days for a lot of people. And it's not just about the things you need to physically survive. Yes, you need clean water. Yes, you need healthy food. Yes, good health is good too. All these things are wonderful. And as we've spoken about in the past on this particular service podcast, the life on earth is an ice cream cone. Read Ecclesiastes, folks. It's all in there. If you want to understand the meaning of your physical life on earth, a lot of it, maybe not all of it, is in the book of Ecclesiastes, written by a very old wise man who had everything. And even having everything, he saw this physical life for what it is. It's here today, gone tomorrow. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I would say too that this is a time to not stop praying. And I don't mean the prayers of pastors you'll find on channel 22.2 at 2 a.m. I don't mean the prayers for BMWs or jobs or investments or Bitcoin. I don't mean the prayers for the ice cream cone. No matter how much you pray, and you need to listen to this, no matter how hard you pray, even though you may not be punished for these types of prayers, the ice cream cone melts, it goes away. Sometimes we make mistakes and we drop it on the ground, and it doesn't even last as long as it could. And all the praying in the world is not going to fix the things of the physical world. Those things were broken from the very moment that Adam and Eve were kicked out of Eden. They've never, ever been different. The devil will try to tell you it's different. The devil will try to sell you all kinds of things, but it's never been different. But we can pray for peace, even though peace on earth is a bit of a facile thing. There is the peace of heaven. We can pray for justice, even though justice on earth is questionable at best. We know that there is a just Lord in heaven. And we can pray for each other that we not be in pain, because the Lord in heaven knows that this life is hard. He knew from the beginning what he was tossing us into. You don't like ice cream cone? What if I told you life is a wood chipper? Would that make it feel better? Life is hard sometimes, but life is also beautiful. That's why it's not a wood chipper. That's why it's an ice cream cone, or whatever metaphor works for you. It is something wonderful and beautiful, painful and difficult, confusing and amazing, and life on earth does not last. So I ask that we keep praying. You know, if you're saying to yourself, what kind of prepping can I do for the times ahead? What if I said that everything and nothing? You could do everything you want to do. You could dig yourself a bunker, but it would not matter. Anyways, I don't want to get beyond the announcements and get into something else, but keep praying. Keep praying for your brother Dan. He can use the prayers. Keep praying for each other. One final thing in the announcements. If there are Christians in the Seattle area who would like to meet for a actual service in person, where we're not talking over Zoom or some other device that we think is the same as being in person, but I think that's the devil talking. If you actually want to meet in person for a service, please email me. I have tried different strategies in the past. Here's a new strategy. Email me. That's M-E. At imsully.com. Email me and I will try to coordinate something in the Seattle area, even if it's just meeting in a park. And to be even more specifically blunt, probably without any type of advertising this time, which means that we'll meet and yes, word of mouth, physical communication. But if you're going to your email or Facebook or Twitter, this is where things get sketchier. Because that's kind of where the devil's living these days, you know. The next reading is from Isaiah, Isaiah 65. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I need to drink a little water. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, "Here am I. Here am I." All day long, I have held out my hands to an obstinate people who walk in ways not good, pursuing their own imaginations. A people who continually provoke me to my very face, offering sacrifices in gardens and burning incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves and spend their nights keeping secret vigil, who eat the flesh of pigs and whose pots hold broth of impure meat, who say, "Keep away, don't come near me, for I am too sacred for you." Such people are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that keeps burning all day. See, It stands written before me, I will not keep silent, but will pay back in full. I will pay it back into their laps, both your sins and the sins of your ancestors, says the Lord. Because they burned sacrifices on the mountains and defied me on the hills, I will measure into their laps the full payment for their former deeds. This is what the Lord says. And when juice is still found in a cluster of grapes and people say, don't destroy it, there is still a blessing in it. So will I do in behalf of my servants. I will not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, those who will possess my mountains. My chosen people will inherit them, and there will my servants live. Sharon, will become a pasture for flocks, and the valley of Achor a resting place for herds, for my people who seek me. But as for you, who forsake the Lord and forget my holy mountain, who spread a table of fortune and fill bowls of mixed wine for destiny, I will destine you for the sword. And all of you will fall in the slaughter. For I called, but you did not answer. I spoke, but you did not listen. You did evil in my sight and chose what displeases me. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My servants will eat, but you will go hungry. My servants will drink, but you will go thirsty. My servants will rejoice, but you will be put to shame. My servants will sing out of the joy of their hearts, but you will cry out from anguish of heart and wail in brokenness of spirit. You will leave your name for my chosen ones to use their curses. The sovereign Lord will put you to death, but to his servants he will give another name. Whoever invokes a blessing in the land will do so by the one true God. Whoever takes an oath in the land will swear by the one true God. For the past troubles will be forgotten and hidden from my eyes. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought a mere child. The one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain, says the Lord. Thanks be to God. This was the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Jesus, I am a poor servant. We are poor servants. Jesus, we walk the road and we stumble. We seek the truth, but we hold on to cherished lies. Our nights are filled with demons. Our days are filled with mockers. Lord, in heaven, we have people who will hand out a guide to the city and say, you can go here for food, you can go here for wine, you can go here to live forever, but this book that is handed out in the street corner is a lie. This guide was created by the devil. Dear Jesus, this path you ask us to walk is difficult. It has always been difficult. There has never been a time since you gave your own life for our sins. There has never been a time where the path was easy. But the path is also beautiful. The path we follow is the path that our Lord set out upon. It is filled with rocks. It has holes. It has great challenges, but it has beauty. It has amazement. It has the hope and the truth of an eternal life. Jesus, you gave us the Holy Spirit to guide us in the dark. And these days we feel as if, at least many of us feel as if, we are wandering in the dark. Jesus, give us the humility to let the Holy Spirit in. Give us the humility to accept your grace. Though we wander through the dark, though we travel upon a trail that is difficult, give us the wisdom to still see the beauty of this world, even though this world is a thing that does come to an end. And if we see a brother who falls by the wayside, if we see a sister that trips upon the land, if we see the widow, the orphan, the widower, the stranger, if we see the Samaritan, give us the courage to do the right thing. Help us to do the right thing. In your name, Jesus Christ, let the Holy Spirit be our light. Amen. The next reading is from Luke 12, 22 through 52. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? The Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming. And he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. I have come to bring fire on earth. And how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No. I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other. Three against two. Two against three. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Fear and trouble and concerns, anger and hate and rage. A friend of mine sent me an email because for several months I pointed out, ever since the various psychological operations began last spring involving the race war, which I thought to be a fiction, and I still do, I pointed out back then that if you see rubber cones, those little rubber cones, that's a sign that what you're seeing is constructed. Because I learned a long time ago in the United States military that when the military is serious about riots, what you'll begin to see is something called triple-strand concertina wire, or at least concertina wire, sometimes called razor wire. Now, what's the difference between a rubber cone and razor wire? Well, there's several differences. One, you need to have special gloves to actually work with razor wire. You don't need that with rubber cones. If you fall on a rubber cone, it might be painful. If you fall on razor wire and you fall the wrong way, it could cut your throat. Rubber cones can be easily picked up and used as weapons of a sort, really. A little bit more dangerous than a Nerf bat. If you have no gloves on that are proper and you try to pick up that concertina wire and use it as a weapon, your hands will be bloody. That's the difference between razor wire and a rubber cone. My friend sent me this email pointing out that in preparation for the inauguration, there are fences as we've seen, fences topped with razor wire. Now I look across the street to the prison they're working on, the prison for children. Basically, you have a fiction. You have fences tied together with zip ties. If you had a pair of very simple metal cutters, you could break through that fence in seconds. That still is an example of a joke. The joke's on you, of course. The joke's on you for believing that the communists who march up and down the street are real. Believe me, the devil loves it if you think they're real. The devil loves it if you buy into his fiction, and the devil loves it if you buy into the fear. But as my friend pointed out this morning, the time of the rubber cone is almost over. What you will see next are real riots, probably. What you will see next is actual, you know, barricades, actual obstacles, not rubber cones, not Les Mis in the streets, not the hokey pokey. What you will see soon is truth. And if you're unable to see the truth, that's not on God, and that's not on your neighbors. That's on you. Yes, brothers and sisters, we have to do what we can to help each other. And in recent weeks, I've had my own demons that I felt were chasing me down the hole. And guess what? They're always chasing me. And if you want me to tell you that I'm a perfectly sober person who never drinks, that's a lie. So I won't lie. What I will tell you is I've decided to drink a lot less. Not just because I don't want to die of organ failure, but mostly because of what we read in Isaiah. What we just read, what we just saw. What did God say? What has God said throughout the Old and New Testament? What does God say? You will not hear me. You will not be ready. If you live in sin all the time, be careful. If 6 out of 7 days a week you're sinning, you're playing the lottery. Not to say that the Lord forgets the other 6 days, but be certain. If you are expected to watch the Lord's house and he shows up and you're drunk on the floor, I think that that's probably not going to turn out well. But by the same token, none of us is perfect, and we struggle with our sins. It's why the sinfulness, the mistakes, the errors is so critical and so crucial to understanding our faith. It's what the Lord in heaven took, right? When the Lord in heaven was tortured, jeered, mocked, dragged the cross up the mountain to die by criminals, beside criminals, to be pilloried and beaten to the very end, he took our sins, but when you really think about it, he took a lot more. He took the sins of the world, past and present, but he also took the fears of the world, if we are able to see it, if we can keep our faith. There is nothing more peaceful than knowing that the Lord in heaven is there, that Jesus Christ will take care of it, and whatever does happen in this life, good and bad, as long as we try, we make the attempt to keep our faith, to stay on the path, to allow the Holy Spirit in, as long as we keep making that effort, yes, life is hard, but it was never going to last forever. And yes, life is amazing and beautiful, but even the beautiful things that we love we'll have to say goodbye to, if they're the things of the earth. I think I've been feeling that recently. I think that my lack of faith manifested in the following way. The time is coming to an end, so I will eat. The time is coming to an end, so I will drink. The time is coming to an end, so I will just not care. I will sit around and use marijuana and drink alcohol all the time because the age is ending. But that's not what I need to be doing. And that's not what we need to be doing. It's not to say that tomorrow, if I had the resources, I wouldn't wake up and go get some beer. I think I probably would. But it is to say that my own awakening in recent weeks is to the fact that I don't know what's going to happen. Neither do you. The Lord in heaven knows the timeline. We do not. We have to some way, somehow, make out of this life something that we were given. Because yes, this physical life ends, but also this physical life, this life on earth, is a gift. It is part of our spiritual journey. May I say, if you're a mother or father and you have kept your faith in Christ and you do your best to love your children no matter their age, blessings to you. May I say that if you're an actual teacher that cares about educating the youth, though you're surrounded by liars and cheats and scoundrels, a blessing to you and your family. May I say that if you're the one police officer in Seattle who actually focuses on crimes that have victims and is interested in the justice of Christ and not the bogus justice of man, God's blessing upon you too. I say a blessing to all those who are staying on the path. It's not easy. I say a blessing to all of those who are lost in this physical wilderness where hunger and thirst and cold eats away at our bones and our faith. A blessing to you too. Hang in there. I read once, actually quite recently, in a book that was given to me by a friend, that the Lord's prophecy is actually a gift. And it may not make sense, but it kind of does once you understand what that means. The Lord's prophecy was given to all of us as a guidepost. And when prophecy is fulfilled, as it has been in the past and will be in the future, it is a reification of faith. Yes, these are scary times, and guess what? Okay, I'm not a prophet. I don't have any special skills. I'm at best a hobo shaman, an old drunk freak in Little Saigon. But what I am telling you as a Christian is that yes, it feels like a time in the world where time as we know it may be coming to an end. But that does not mean it is the end. And even if all of that were true, how should we live our day? Should we live it waiting to die? Or should we live it grateful for every day that we're alive? The Lord in heaven gave us this gift on earth to understand and to learn, to be and to love. The Lord in heaven built a school, and it was called life. And that's the question we have to ask ourselves. Is school out? I don't think it is. I think school's still in session, so to speak. Now, Jesus tells us not to worry, but you know what he also tells us? Be ready. Is that a contradiction? Don't worry. Do not worry. The Lord in heaven throughout the Bible tells us, give me your worries. He tells his chosen people in the desert, give me your burdens. He tells his disciples, give me your concerns. He tells the widow, the orphan, the stranger, the leper. He tells them all, I can carry it. Do not worry. And yet at the same time, Jesus says, be ready. Now, I was a long time ago a soldier in the United States Army. And I served a year in Korea. And there was this thing that we'd go through periodically, which the first time kind of freaks you out, but then after that you get used to it. And it was called an alert, A-L-E-R-T. Well, that's a small word, and it doesn't seem like much. But imagine if, in a pseudo-random way, 20 to 30,000 people were all waking up at the same time and had to be ready to go to work at the same place in about 15 minutes. That's an alert, Area 1, 2nd ID, Korea, in the 1990s. the first alert I went through, I think it was like around 1 a.m. And I had just been in Korea about a month. I think it was probably June of 1997. And I remember that alert because there was a young woman, a good person, not a bad person, but a young woman who was tired. And she woke up and she had to move missiles from the ammunition holding area at the top of the hill because Camp Stanley was on the slope of a hill. And some of the bigger ordnance, like the missiles for MLRS, and I don't want to go into this because these are wretched things, but these missiles would be held at the top of the hill. And this young woman's job was to have the missile loaded onto a Hemet. And a Hemet is a really ugly looking, scary, quasi-futuristic truck. And these missiles would be loaded onto the Hemet, and the woman would drive the missiles down the hill so the missiles could be loaded onto the MLRS batteries and they could go to their go-to-war positions. Because that's what an alert is. An alert is telling you it's time to go to war. There is nothing in an alert that is calm. There is nothing in an alert that's peaceful. Even the Buddhists amongst us would freak out. Why? Because 30,000 people... 30,000 warriors are waking up at the same time to go to war. And they got 15 minutes. This young woman fell asleep in the Hemet while the missiles were being loaded on. This young woman ended up going with the Hemet down the hill, down the road, basically into some trees and bushes. Luckily, I don't think the woman was injured seriously, and no one else was injured. You know, Jesus watches out for us, doesn't he? But when you think about this thing, this tension, Lord says, be peaceful and calm. Lord says, be ready. Lord says, take your worries and give them to me. But then the Lord says, don't be the drunk servant when I arrive. Is this a contradiction? I don't think it is. I think it's a tension, you know, tension as in T-E-N-S-I-O-N, right? Tension. I think there is a tension between these two ideas, being ready and being calm. And yes, I've known warriors in the past who could do both. It's a very rare thing. It's very rare for people to be good at something to the point of seriousness and at the same time to keep their calm. A lot of it's about practice. A lot of it is about practice. When it comes to faith, a lot of it is about practice. No, it's not some ritual you go through like the worshipers of, like the Philistines, you know, worshiping some ancient god. It's not just a series of steps you follow. Practice means staying on the path. Practice means opening yourself to the Holy Spirit in this context. Practice means praying, if you can, at least once a day, I think, at least once a day, I would say. And I'll let you know something. I don't always do that. In fact, I probably don't pray enough myself. When I do pray, I take it seriously, but I think I don't always pray as much as I should. But prayer is also practice. My friend Jim talks about the rosary, and God bless him. And do I think the rosary can be a useful tool for prayer? Absolutely. But if it were just a ritual that you go through, uttering words and touching beads, that's useless to God. The Lord in heaven doesn't want that. The Lord in heaven wants you to learn how to pray. And if you don't know how to pray, then potentially the rosary is a tool for you. But if you do know how to pray, try to pray every day now. Right? Keep your practice. That's how you'll stay calm while you're waiting. And you may not see the Lord. I may not either. I mean, just because we think these are the times doesn't mean they are. If you read Thucydides' History of the Peloponnesian War, in some of the first chapters, Thucydides will say, never were times so great as the time of the Athenians. Never did people have so many ships. I paraphrase a bit, but that's essentially what he says. What I say to Thucydides and to all of you throughout time, every generation says that. Every generation says, never has it been greater. Every generation says, never have we faced greater obstacles. And that's always been false, and it still remains false. But here is what's true. Eventually, all of this comes to an end. Even if you were an atheist, you'd have to at least accept the laws of thermodynamics. You'd have to accept the concept of entropy. Even if you didn't believe in God, as an atheist, you'd have to recognize that everything comes to an end. All of it. This physical world does not last forever. I bring this theme up a lot in my services because I feel like it needs to be repeated. Because the devil lives in tormenting us about death. The devil lives in the fear of loss. The devil lives in loneliness. That is loneliness that only breeds anger. No, you're not evil for being lonely. You're not. You're not bad for being a hermit. I used to be a hermit and a relatively small minority. The powers of the world have managed to turn a lot of people into hermits now. You're not bad for being alone, but I can tell you that loneliness is scary in part because if you are alone and you don't have the Holy Spirit, the devil is always knocking at the door. The devil. I tell you, the devil will offer you trinkets. The devil will offer you trinkets. The devil will say, take this vaccine and you'll live. But then the devil will also say, but the vaccine might not work. The devil will say, follow this diet and you'll live. But then the devil will also tell you a few years later that that diet was bad for you. The devil will sell you, in his own crooked way, everything that he thinks God is offering you. And this is what makes the devil a fool. Because the devil, in all his power and genius, and yes, the devil is clever, smarter than the smartest person on planet Earth, and yes, the devil knows stuff, the devil knows everything about the world. The world. The devil, in many ways, is an expert on the ice cream cone, life. But what's interesting, if you gave the book of Ecclesiastes to the devil, he would get bored. He would not understand. It would be a language he could not read. The devil can understand computers and lasers, jet airplanes, rocket ships. The devil can spread the fiber optics. He can hand out the pills. But he does not understand how foolish these things are. The devil misinterprets our desire for life as life itself being the most important thing. Physical life, I mean. The devil will interpret our love as actual love itself being the only thing, as if you can really find love in absence of God. As someone who tried that once, I can tell you, it doesn't really work out. If you see the devil for who the devil is standing by the roadside with a little hurdy-gurdy and a tiny little monkey, and he's got a bag of tricks, and that's it. But still, we hear the music, don't we? The devil gains most of his power through hiding the truth, through obscuration. What does the word occult mean? Occultation means hidden. Occult means hidden. An occultation is something that it obscures. Now, of course, the followers of the ancient hermetic belief systems, the weird secret societies, the Masons with 50 different kinds of weird handshakes will tell you, but Dan, occult, hidden means the hidden truth. No. You're speaking the words of the devil, you fool. The devil will hide a chest in smoke. The devil will bury a chest at the bottom of the sea. The devil will take a chest, a container, and put it on the moon. And when you open it up, what will you find? Nothing. Like Al Capone's vault, right? Geraldo Rivera, 1980s. We're going to open Al Capone's vault. Inside of the devil's vault, we'll find so many things. What did he find? Dirt and garbage. But here's what's hard, and this is the third part of the message. The message from our reading, the reading from the New Testament, the reading from Luke. Because it's hard, because one of the messages of Jesus is peace. But then in this last part of the reading, and all of these things are connected. I don't think they're separate. They are continuous in terms of the chapter, and I believe they're connected. What does Jesus say? He's going to divide us. He's choosing to divide us. He did not come here to bring peace. What does that mean? And before you say, well, that's just one example, ladies and gentlemen, throughout the Bible, brothers and sisters, throughout the entire book, there are examples of the Lord in heaven dividing people, but not in some crazy way. And when you really think about it, those divisions were already there. It's more as if God took a light. He took a lamp. He took a flashlight, and he removed the darkness to see the divisions. Divisions based on things that do not matter. Are you rich? Do you have lots of money? It doesn't matter. Are you poor? Are you almost broke? It doesn't matter. Are you young? Yeah, it's great to be young. Are you old? It can be hard to be old. These divisions that seem so real in the Lord's kingdom are non-existent. They are the divisions that exist in this world. They are challenges, and in many cases, they are tests. It seems as if Jesus, in his words, came to divide us, but what he really came to do, I think, is to show us the foolishness of a lot of these divisions. And yet at the same time, the power of his message does create division for many. And what does that mean? How is that true if the Lord in heaven is a peacemaker? Well, here's how it's true. You cannot have any peace based on lies. You cannot have any peace based on oppression. You cannot have any peace when you tell billions of people to hide in their homes. That is not peace. That is simply the absence of something else. But that's not peace. In fact, it's the opposite. It is division. The devil will promise you things the devil can't deliver. The devil will tell you, don't worry about meeting at church. You can meet on Zoom. The devil will tell you, don't worry about talking to your friend in person, even though they could probably use a hug. Send them an email. The devil will tell you that all these things are fine. They're all equivalent. They're all the same. They are not. A handshake, a physical handshake, is not the same thing as a TCP handshake between two computers. Yes, I've worked as a software engineer, and yes, that's a reference to communication between computers. And the word handshake is used, but that's not a handshake. A handshake is where you take your hand, you put it out, and you shake another person's hand. A smile is not an emoticon. You can put 1,000 emoticons in an email. That is not the same thing as a human smile. If you take your mask and you paint a smile on it, that's not the same thing. The devil will sell you trinkets by the roadside. The Lord in heaven gave us the Holy Spirit to guide our way. What do we choose? I've said this before, I'll say it again, and I think it's worth saying as this service draws to an end. Jesus spoke in parables because parables require us to make choices. Jesus spoke in parables because parables recognize free will. Jesus talks about peace and war. Jesus talks about unity and division because these are choices. And sometimes these choices are right and sometimes they're wrong. If you are unified in the devil, I'll let you on a little secret, that's wrong. If you're unified in peace with the devil, how can I say this? That's wrong. The devil can offer peace, but what kind of peace is it? The Lord in heaven does offer division, but what kind of division is it? Is it the division of hatred and war, or is it the division of understanding? The Lord in heaven wants to take the Holy Spirit and shine it like a light on the world to reveal the truth. The devil would just as soon take all the truth, put it into a spaceship, and fire it into the sun. The Lord in heaven gives us a life preserver. The devil will hand you an anchor and tell you it's a pot of gold. Jesus, we struggle to stay ready because to stay ready seems stressful, right? But we also struggle to give you our concerns because we're supposed to be calm. We struggle to find peace, but we also struggle to recognize that there is no peace in injustice. We are given the tensions of this reality because we were given a gift at the very beginning. Our Lord in heaven, our God, gave us free will, and we have choices to make. But we just don't make the choices on the trail alone. When the Lord in heaven left, he gave us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is many things. It is something you need to let into yourself. I do too. I don't do enough of it. I often try to push the Holy Spirit away. We need to stop doing that because the Holy Spirit is the lamp, is the guide. The Holy Spirit is the flashlight in the darkness. Yes, we hear howls in the night. Yes, we hear mockers. We hear jeers. We hear all sorts of noises. The devil can scream and howl, but the devil is blind. You walk with the devil, you might hear the tinker-tonker, the ridiculous noises of his hurdy-gurdy. If you walk in the light, you'll hear Beethoven. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be his name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters. Things have been crazy. In all this madness, as we walk on the trail, it is hard to see where our feet will land. And I can't tell you what's coming next because I am not a prophet and I'm not God. My name is Dan. But what I can tell you, brothers and sisters, as another Christian, is that we don't have to worry too much. Yes, we need to be ready, but we also need to be calm. Yes, we need to seek peace, but we also need to see the peddlers of peace for who they are too. The ones who peddle the false peace. And you should be able to see that now. And if you can't see it, wipe the sleep from your eyes. Because like Jesus said, you won't know. And as we've said many times on the virtual church of Little Saigon, everybody's world ends. Every single human life on planet Earth involving cheeseburgers, bacon, ski trips, hiking in the Cascades, falling in love with a beautiful woman or a beautiful man. All of this comes to an end. It does. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't enjoy it. More tension. I say to you all, brothers and sisters, God bless you. God bless you, and God bless the human race to the extent that they can see the truth. God bless your children. God bless the things you love. God bless.